is the Multimedia Men podcast number 12.
Some good soup.
Soup. Adam is knee deep in some potato soup right now. All over the place.
He's chin deep.
Chin deep. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Adam Conway.
Yo.
Andrew Conway.
Boo.
And Gaudi Elkon.
Yo, yo.
Hey. It's our Halloween episode.
Ooh. Something scary.
Fucking steak puff.
So since it's our Halloween episode 2013, we're going to do a genre talk.
Genre.
And we're going to focus it on horror movies and Halloween and monsters and Mad Men and everything else.
Mad Men.
John Hamm.
Mad Men.
We talked movie monsters last week.
We did.
More of a genre.
Oh, no.
We're doing horror movies.
His mother was a
sat by the park.
So why do you think horror movies, whenever one's released, always do top of the box office?
Because everyone likes to get their shit scared out of them.
It's an experience, you know. That
it's and you're doing it with the audience. If you're not part of that experience, then you're at your house with friends and scared crapless on your TV.
Yeah.
It's the only, like, genre that, maybe that in musicals, I don't know, that brings out the entire audience.
Makes you feel something almost immediately.
One comedy. Yeah.
They want that instant.
Because
comedies,
you know,
too. Yeah, you're
comedies,
right. Comedies
too. But it's, there's something about
there's more
scared.
Fervor behind
right.
horror films.
It's scary,
than comedies.
Yeah. Getting that adrenaline pumping makes you get into the movie a lot more.
And I'd like to think that horror movies, they're always the most innovative and they use, like, they always have, like, the coolest shots or the, they use the new equipment or whatever. They're always leading the way as far as any other movie.
Well, they're all trying to accomplish the same thing, so they have to do it in different ways.
And most horror movies are always way low.
Exactly.
Lower
so
budgets.
They're trying to find cheaper ways to do things, and sometimes that helps push innovation.
What the fuck is going on?
Loosening the belt.
Well, hello!
Like, for instance,
it's so
it
much
just got scary.
Yeah. For instance, The Shining was the first movie we talked about before.
Steadicam.
First movie to do Steadicam.
Yeah.
They invented it. The guy who created the Steadicam invented it for that movie.
And it's such a great shot. Just
constantly
following Danny around. And
through
everybody
just... Yeah, everyone watching that for the first time, like, how did they do that?
And like the evolution of that is like Paranormal Activity using the found footage type look.
Yeah,
well
that
Blair,
wasn't the first to do it.
Blair Witch
would technically be
but
that.
Basically having just the camera literally sitting in one position... Just one shot and not
letting
moving.
It,
what's that Michael Rooker film? Serial killer film?
Henry the Serial Killer.
Okay, that was the first one to go like only that viewpoint. That's innovative. It's not only cameras, but it's point of view.
Is that where it's like first person almost? Where it's like
all first person. Yeah.
And most big directors started out with horror.
Yeah, that's true.
Spielberg started out with Jaws pretty much.
Look at Guillermo.
James Cameron did Piranha 2. James Cameron.
Peter Jackson
did
Dead Alive.
Well, Bad Taste.
Yeah.
And then Dead Alive, which is the goriest.
Well, if you look at all the old guys who were doing, like Corman and all those older gents who were doing it and led the way, it's the one genre you can bring, of course, but you can bring in young directors to help you accomplish it because you've got to figure out new crap to do.
Yeah. Oddly enough, my favorite Roger Corman film is The Munchies.
And your favorite James Cameron film is Piranha 2.
Absolutely. Fuck True Lies.
What's wrong with Piranha 2?
But yeah, they all started out and they've all gone onto stuff. Some people have gone back to horror. Kind of, let's take Sam Raimi.
It's a great
Evil
film.
Dead, and then he did no horror really after Army of Darkness, sort of, but he did other horror besides that. And then I guess his last horror one was Drag Me to Hell. But it's cool to, like, James Cameron hasn't done another horror movie. And has Spielberg done another horror movie? Would you consider, like, War of the Worlds horror?
Schindler's List was kind of a horror movie.
That was a true story.
No, but he hasn't jumped back into that realm at all. Some maybe it's beneath them, but others, I think you're right. They like the
it's a way to get their
challenge.
Foot in the door, because like you said, it's a lot cheaper to do a horror film
Yeah.
Because you can do a lot of in-camera special effects and just like a lot of stuff with makeup and stuff.
And you don't need main actors. You can have people dying, so it doesn't matter who's in your films.
Because the actual villain or whatever, whatever is the star.
I agree. And I really think that, remember that reality TV show Project Greenlight?
Yeah.
I think the best thing they could ever do was have that horror movie.
Yeah.
Feast. Because there were other two were awful.
And it spawned several sequels too.
Yeah, it did.
And Feast was a good idea.
Yeah. Like I was saying though, like the actual villain in the movie is the star. Because like no one remembers Johnny Depp was actually one of his first movies.
Except
was
for us.
But
you'll
Nightmare
always remember
Bells?
Robert
but, England. But that's a good point because like let's say the Nightmare on Elm Street or the Friday the 13th or the Halloween, the bad guy, the villain, is the one that everybody cheers for.
Yeah. Exactly.
After the next few. Like, they don't cheer for the good guys. They cheer for Freddy. They cheer for Jason. They cheer for Michael Myers.
Like Kevin Bacon. And
even Gotti's. Yeah.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, even Gotti's favorite, George Clooney in Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. That's one of his first movies. You know.
But he was also in another horror movie. Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Was that his first...
Well, that was his first feature film. From his segue into feature films from ER.
Well, we already brought up Tom Hanks. I mean, he did Burbs pretty early on. I mean, that was...
Yeah, it was really early on.
Yeah, I mean, it was early 80s. So.
Right around Joe First Volcano.
Which has its own cool little horror elements, if you want to look at it that way. Not really.
Yeah,
but,
whatever. Yeah, but Burbs, definitely. I mean, that was a cannibal family.
It's quality.
But yeah, it's interesting to see how a lot of these big-time Oscar-winning directors started out at the bottom, like literally making movies with their friends.
So since we're talking about like innovation, what are the shots or like we talked about The Shining and earlier when we were doing it.
Evil Dead, the motorcycle on the, with the,
well, even
the 2x4, him running that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great shot.
Even another thing from The Shining is the whole sequence at the beginning with him running the big wheel.
Yeah,
that was like almost. It looks like almost a seamless long take the way they set it up, and just like planning those things out. It's a ridiculous looking.
Well, Kubrick, I mean, The Shining took 5 years to.
And
make.
Letting it just.
And he did it wrong on purpose.
He did it
It's not plausible for that kid. I remember they mapped it out, and it's not plausible.
Like goes through walls.
Those walls aren't there, and he did that on purpose.
Yeah, because he didn't care. Because it was all about the shot itself and not the surroundings. Because if people are focused on, oh my god, there's no way that could happen, then he lost you. He was all about setting up this world and sort of showing you the world of this hotel. And it was great because it definitely draws you in.
Yeah,
and gives you sort of the perspective of from the kid's eyes about like what's about to happen.
Do y'all remember? Well, Polanski, this is kind of his signature shot from Rosemary's Baby, where the phone call where she's sitting down and
you can't see her.
And that is the spooky. I mean, because that movie's spooky on its own, but
then
that's spooky as hell.
Psycho's Hitchcock, the shower scene.
Yeah.
That was innovative for the quick cuts. That was the first time they had like.
And the sound issue.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to folio that
they
in.
They use sound to manipulate. Yeah,
yeah.
You and that's all they do nowadays.
Like, that scene still has like might be like the record for the most edits for that much.
Sounds a huge.
And there's still people that argue that there's nakedness in it. Nudity in
one of the
clips. Like, people still argue that.
Even the big
and
reveal at the end of the movie, too, is great. Like, that's
something that's really great.
Where you, like, find out what
there's a new, different, crazy we're dealing with there.
Yeah.
We're talking about Carpenter with opening of Halloween, that one shot all the way
around. Yeah, I mentioned earlier in our other segment, but yeah, definitely the whole POV thing, that was, I think Halloween was one of the first movies to do that sort of thing, and it definitely
scares
the crap out of you, because you're like, you don't see the person. You just see the murder weapon.
And you see it within his eyes.
The holes.
Eyes mask.
Yeah, you get the mask.
It's pretty creepy.
Which
and it's perfect because you don't see it until the parents take off the mask and you see he's just a little kid.
Yeah.
Just like, and then that scene when they're driving in the rain and all of the crazy people are outside in the rain. Like, they're not supposed to be out. Oh, that's so creepy. One of my other favorite shots is A Nightmare on Elm Street. It's the practical effect where the chick is in the air and goes on the ceiling. It's killed by Freddy. And that was done by a revolving room that she just kind of went around. And that was a cool effect. And they had just the guy just stand outside of it looking at it. So it seems like as if she was. Such a great scene. Bless you. They do a lot of good stuff. What about you? Any innovation things?
No, not really.
Not really?
Innovation.
So do you think comedy is a good aspect to horror nowadays?
Well, I think it's got to the point where they've taken it to the next step, or I don't know if it's downgrading or upgrading, but
it feels like they kind of fell
there's different
into
ones
that.
Like there's Conjuring, which really there's is not funny, but
parody.
But like Your Next was funny and scary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that was like,
and then there's The Conjuring, which is not funny but scary.
Both
are good, but one is I think just fun and like.
Well, and this genre is also like.
But The Conjuring's a true horror film. It's not like a.
Yeah, that was based on the
people
from
like
Amityville. Yeah,
but you know the other one, Your Next, is more of it's an homage and parody sort of mixed together, and
this genre is like one of the most like ones that has the most remakes of any other type of genre.
That is true. They do.
Are there any remakes that you can think of that are better than the originals?
Let's see here.
You can make an argument for the Halloween to just.
It's hard. I liked that Rob Zombie did the. Showed him as a kid, but after that, I did not like it. I did not like Laurie Strode's character in the remake of Rob Zombies. I did not. I thought she needed to.
What about Dawn of the Dead?
Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead was amazing. That was truly frightening, and it was to the point, and it was really good. I mean, I just wish it wasn't called Dawn of the Dead, even though it took place in the mall, but. Because it didn't have any undertone, really.
I thought Child's Play 2 was a lot better than the original.
I still like Child's Play 1. Child's Play 2 is great, though. But that's not a remake, though. That's a sequel.
It's a sequel.
Remake. Definitely not going to change on that
screen. Well, Let Me In.
Remake of Evil Dead
one.
Was solid.
Yeah.
Remake of Evil Dead. I will always choose
the original. It was solid, but the original was definitely. Yeah.
Okay, it's not better than the original.
It isn't, though.
I would say The Crazies. The original one was done by George Romero in the 70s.
The remake is actually
remake is really good.
With Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, that's a really good
one. The American version of The Grudge kind of freaked me out.
American version of The Ring is really good, too. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know if it's better, but it might be up there. I think Quarantine's just as good as Wreck.
Yeah, there were two shots in The Grudge that like freaked the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I actually just screamed in the theater with every
really?
Girl in there. Like,
there, and that's another thing, Japanese horror movies, that was a huge fad for a while.
Foreign filmmakers, I mean, Guillermo, I mean, there's some really good foreign filmmakers, period.
And then
all the Italian films, Dario.
Oh, yeah, like Suspiria, which they are remaking.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see
David Gordon Green, yeah.
Yep, very curious to see about
and
that.
Then
happy
the,
for that.
Yeah.
I like David Gordon Green.
I like the progression. It's like America finds a great horror film from some other country, remakes it, and then we have people that will remake that into a parody.
Yep.
And so that's the progression. So it's good and bad.
But we mostly get all the same characters for the most part.
Yeah. So it's original at first, but like, you know, like the first scary movie, making fun of Scream and all those, it was actually pretty clever. But now we're on with Scary Movie 5, and there's been other, like 1,000 other.
Haunted House was great.
Sort of.
Haunted House was pretty cool.
It was really good.
And so the innovation in the parody itself is.
Yeah.
It's
a billion dollar business. Yeah.
And there, it's, yeah. So, but there are a few, like you said, like Haunted House did a great job of taking the new scary thing, which was Paranormal Activity, which found a new way to scare you by just say like we said last podcast, I think someone mentioned that they scare you during the day, something happens.
Yes.
Usually in a lot of these horror films,
it's all
night, can't see what's going on, but this happened during the day.
But you know why it makes money is they do it in the summer. And they get all the damn kids to the movie theater. It's intelligent marketing. It's why it's worked forever. There's a reason why you do it in summer.
And they make a PG-13.
Horror movies,
PG-13,
that should be rated R, but when today's...
violence isn't as scary.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you don't do a sexualized movie,
it's no blood.
You're fine
on this country. That's my next question.
Blood
is,
you're right. Blood.
That's
blood.
My next question is, based on that, is... Is a horror movie scarier if there's more violence and blood, as if there's not, like, let's say Texas Chainsaw Massacre is virtually no blood in the movie, and neither is The Shining, besides, you know, the blood falling down the
elevator. The psychology element always should be scary because you have to think of what it is.
But there's some really creepy moments in The Shining.
Does
violence and blood gore make it scary?
No.
You don't think so?
Not on the, like... No.
Like, see, like it's been, it's, see, would you rather
that goes
see,
back to the Rosemary's Baby shot. There's
yeah.
the reason why he didn't show that.
Yeah, would you rather
to
see
think about
somebody
it
getting killed
like.
And not see it on screen, or would you rather see somebody, would you be more scared of somebody, you see somebody stabbing somebody 20 times and seeing their guts
The first one. The way it's set up, because if it's off screen, people always say the best thing is your imagination.
And that's why I think Alien works so well, is because you never see the
if
alien.
If they sort of show, they give away what it's happened. So scary. They show you what happened. It's
now there are directors that would argue that they have to do that because a budget says we couldn't make a freaking monster anyway. But a lot of that is done because it's a money. Yeah. No, it's a good point though. They
know the sharks.
They didn't intend to make Jaws a type of suspense. They wanted it freaking eat people, and they didn't. They couldn't do it.
Like the first shot, they wanted it, but then they
couldn't figure it out. And you only need the one death. You're right. Yeah. You just need her, and then you've got the whole movie.
And that first scene was terrifying.
I mean, and there's blood, but not as much blood as like other like.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street, or
yeah.
it's all about that.
Blood coming up through the bed is not anywhere as scary as that girl in the water. No way.
Because I think, yeah, that it's some of the stuff that's too bloody and too gory, like you're sort of desensitized to it because you're like, oh, that's never going to happen in real life. So something that's a little more grounded in reality scares you even more. That's like the Paranormal Activity and the ones that just, all like the Silence of the Lambs where the people could be real. These people could actually be in the real world. That scares you more than I think, you know, someone that's just killing people like constantly. You're desensitized to that whole thing. You're like, it's nothing.
Do movies still genuinely scare you guys?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah. I was
in a Conjuring.
Moments,
still,
not
Paranormal Activity
moments.
Scared me.
There's moments.
Conjuring scared me.
I said Insidious,
but not all
Insidious
the way.
Scared
yeah.
me. Like there were some genuine moments.
But all the way through,
freaked me out. No, not all the way.
The Exorcist.
Through.
I felt cold. The entire fucking movie. Well, and it's because he was smart enough to do the breathing.
But now you're smart enough, so you're more skeptical.
Yeah, they
you
made
know, you've seen
room,
enough to like,
literally
know what's going to happen. See, that's
well,
a problem.
He had to invent that. These guys should invent
exactly.
their elements. And I don't think they're inventing as
but
well
not
as
so many,
Carpenter and Friedkin did. Like, those dudes built shit. Raimi built half his
Those
craft.
Were your firsts, though. Like, you can never get back like your first real scare. And so, like, now that you've already got sort of in your head, you're expecting something to happen. So I think in that sense, you're a little less optimistic about how the actual movie is going to scare you because you're ready for it. You're ready for it now, and you weren't ready for
yeah,
it when
you
first saw
it. Yeah, we see so many times, like, there's been so many moments where you're supposed to be scared at one point, but then everything goes silent, and then the jump comes. And it happens in everything.
And you anticipate
and,
it because
well, yeah.
you know it.
And you're smart enough now to know that something's going to happen. And you take the cues. You know the cues now. Because before you didn't, like, you know these musical cues when they start revving up a certain note. And you're like, okay, something's about to happen.
Yeah.
And that's when you know to turn away or try to cover your eyes so you don't see what happens. So you're ready for it. But like when the first time you saw some of these movies as a kid, you didn't know what to expect. And so you... Those are genuine scares. Like we talked about this before. Like it. Like as a kid, it was one of the scariest movies I saw.
Oh yeah.
Watching it now,
it's a lot more campy.
Well,
there's a lot more stuff in there you get now. As
yeah.
Know,
well, Pennywise
it, but,
is still scary,
yeah.
but the rest of the movie is really bad.
Especially
like,
the dialogue.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's really bad.
And that's
but
stuff you didn't think about when you were a kid.
Frightening to a, you know. An exponential degree.
I guess that's why movies like Saw hit us so hard because they were intelligently done.
Exactly. Well,
that's the same
that's
director.
Right.
They're smart enough for
a lot
us
of
now.
James Wan.
Yeah,
James Wan. Yeah.
Little guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Came to Dallas with Saw. I think it was one of the first five cities. So shout out to him.
It was. I mean, it literally was one
he
of those great
classics,
dialogue movies where it was like, oh my god, we're stuck in a room. And there's like clues
horror.
Everywhere.
Smart
yeah, it was
horror.
Good.
Exactly. Like you had to think. Like I'm sure no one really
and that,
figured out what happened.
And
that no
spawned
that.
All like Insidious and all that stuff. I mean, it's
yeah.
all it spawned all of that because it was done for what $7 million. Because
all horror movies have the cheap
and it's
cheap scares nowadays. You know, where they, like a dog comes out of nowhere and scares the crap out of you. But you know, those are sort of a given. But like to like genuinely like be outwitted
yeah.
by the movie, that's
it's,
hard to do nowadays.
Yeah. And see, I wish M. Night Shyamalan, I really still have faith in him, that he will make another good
movie. His first
movie,
like, The Sixth Sense was amazing. Like, that,
oh, Unbreakable's
that
good.
I love Unbreakable.
Signs is not
too.
Bad.
I like Signs.
But Unbreakable's not like a Why? Horror movie. But
Unbreakable's
but,
not, but
Sixth
he's
Sense,
into horror stuff.
Still, like,
yeah.
Sixth Sense, like, that came out, you had no idea. Like, and then, like, the girl, like, just popping up in the tent, like, oh, I still remember that. That still creeps me out. Like,
yeah.
She's just, like, they're throwing, oh, yeah, there's... He was great. He was great. I hope he returns the greatness, but...
Well, we hope he gets back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Any particular movies that take place on Halloween that you like?
I was going to ask.
Other than Halloween?
Other than Halloween?
Has anyone seen the new Carrie remake?
I did. I saw it.
Okay. So what? It was rated R, so they decided to go with a hard R.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
It's basically the exact same movie as the original with very minor differences. Julianne Moore and Chloe do excellent jobs in their roles, but the villains are so over the top ridiculous. And
so you feel the original is better than
that? I like the original. Okay. This one's decent. I do like the fact that they tried to use they used real blood for a lot of it.
So that's why they got the R rating, I'm guessing?
Yeah,
it was
possibly. And then what was the other thing? It's very anticlimactic. I thought the prom scene, the famous prom scene, would have been bigger, and it wasn't. But it was decent. I mean, I guess there's language in it, but I don't remember there being any nudity in it or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth seeing. I mean, it literally is the same movie, just remade. So, very minor differences.
So this is like one of her, she's known to do that now. That's Chloe's second remake.
Let
Me In. Which I prefer the old other one.
Of course. That was amazing.
I don't know. I prefer the new one.
Really?
Because of her more than the black-haired girl.
Really?
But I like the blonde-headed boy compared to Jody.
Who I think is
really good. And Richard Jenkins is much better than
the older
guy.
Because they get him
Richard Jenkins is great in this movie.
In the book, after he falls from the hospital, he goes on like a killing spree. He's not dead. It's awesome.
And that's also...
But that's not in the movie. No, it's not in any of the movies. Yeah.
That's also a good question there, too, is like, you read the book. How does the book translate to the movie?
I mean, is the book ten times
scarier then?
Oh, yeah.
It goes into so much... Yeah, I hear there's so many different things that they didn't even touch upon. And
do you have more of the history of her?
Yes.
It's actually... Yeah, it turns out it's not a her.
See, that's kind
of
sad.
They kind of hint at that in the movie the original.
I didn't know.
They kind of hint at it in the movie. It's very subtle.
But just another movie.
No, the old one, not the new one.
Yeah, I'm sure the book was... pretty dense read, but
it is so big that it was back then. I just can't believe they made it into a TV series without any of the effects they have today.
But for bringing up crazy books and Stephen King, The Shining book is very, I mean, it's arguably different than the movie.
Oh, yeah,
it is. Well, the ending's different, and they couldn't do the special effects with the trees and the bushes come alive. They did that in the TV movie. But I still like Kubrick's ending better. I did not like the original
Stephen
ending.
Stephen King doesn't.
I know he doesn't. I like the ending better. I like that, you know, he's still a bad guy in the end.
Yeah.
I don't like, in the book or in the TV remake, he becomes a good guy again.
Well, this
I like it.
That actually brings up a good question about, like, sequels. Now, we got a sequel coming out to The Shining in book
Dr. form. Sleep, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Sleep. And what about some other sequels that are hopefully Dr.
Well, supposedly they're supposed to make a 28 months later, like from 28 days, 28 weeks, or doing 28
Which
months.
Is fine because there's a progression with the title.
Yeah.
You know it's going to come that way. With The Shining, how many people are going to expect the original movie's plotline to be linear with the new book?
You know, it's really difficult.
That's going
to
be
tough. It's taking a movie that Kubrick did with Duvall and Jack Nicholson. It's going to be difficult to make something that good again. I mean, I could see it being terrible and being like the jump out scare type of thing. And like, I hope it's not. I think Spielberg could do it. Because Spielberg helped AI. You know, I mean, not helped it. But
I don't know what your definition of help then is. Because... I don't know.
No other person could have done that after Stanley, but Spielberg.
I would tap that break too. I love Spielberg to death, but that movie is—it's got his young, you know, love touch too much. It's not
Alfonso Cuarón could do that.
Gravity, maybe. I don't know if it would.
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo would have made a dark ass.
But how old was Del Toro when AI came out? Like he was
30.
He was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Backbone was out before.
Yeah,
it's like 96.
Okay, interesting.
He could have been old enough.
And so horror
wasn't big enough, famous enough.
Sam Raimi.
Do you think horror movies should be for everybody, like PG-13, like they're doing now?
No,
or should only be R?
No, I think everyone deserves to be scared.
Well, I mean, there's there's horror movies for kids. If it's Hocus Pocus, I would not.
Very scary. Yeah.
That is one of my favorite Halloween set movies.
Sergeant Parker.
Nightmare Before Christmas. That's also a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But movies like Drag Me to Hell is PG-13. I don't think it should have been.
And what about Cabin in the Woods? What was that? Was it PG-13 or was that rated R?
That seemed like it was rated R. Yeah.
There's no way.
There's so much blood in that movie.
There's no way.
And I want to say there was nudity in that too. But that was a great movie.
Well, she does a strip.
And that was a different take on the horror genre too. I love how they did that. Yeah.
It was a parody, but it was done in the right, like the correct
way. Yeah, it was. They had Joss Whedon on their team.
I still wanted them not to reveal it as early as they did because it was legitimately scary at the beginning. Like,
well, it still is if you think about it. Like, these guys have really no...
But you could have waited at least another 30 minutes and made a really scary opening and then complete comedy.
But it literally ends with, spoiler alert, I mean, it's been out for a few years... The world's going to end. The dude comes out of the ground, like the giant. Like, there's no way for these kids to stay alive. It's crazy. Or now the Earth. Like, there's no escape for them.
But you don't know that in the beginning.
But you don't know that until the end either, though. Until Sigourney Weaver comes out and says, like, this is why this is happening.
Which, the end of the world
kind of spoofed
me.
But you, yeah, but you get, but in the beginning, you see it's like, okay, we're in an office. What are they doing? And like, okay, they have set some crazy shit up where monsters are real.
Yeah, and if you didn't reveal what those guys were doing, that movie is creepy. That's all I'm saying. I love the film. I love it. I just wished it was 30 minutes later.
I just wish you would have blown the magical conch.
It is good. It is good.
Thank you, Brad.
And so, what's the worst horror movie you've ever seen?
Worst in a good way or a bad way?
No, the bad way. Like, one that's just,
like
awful.
One, the worst isn't campy. I've seen tons of those. I brought one up earlier, Chud 2.
Chud. But that's still classic.
It's classic, but it's pretty bad. But it's good.
Like Halloween 3 is the worst horror film ever.
See, I disagree with that because I think Halloween 3 is good. They just should have never done called it Halloween 3 because it was not a Halloween movie.
Jack Frost is pretty terrible.
Jack Frost is awful.
Saw 12? 16? What are they on now?
And there's a lot of sequels. It's hard. Like, there are a lot of sequels that don't live up to it and are horrible, but just like flat out, what's a good. It's Jack Frost is horrible. One for sure. That just. It's shitty ass horror film. Urban Legend, maybe?
That wasn't.
Urban Legend was really
bad.
It was
Urban
a shitty ass horror film that wasn't made to be shitty.
Yeah, like Urban
There's
Legend.
There's tons that were made to be shitty in like every sci fi movie of the week that we got some horror theme to it. Those were made intentionally to be bad. But there's, Urban Legend. I'm just trying to think, there's so many.
I like all of Romero's zombie movies, even though they're not as good as
Diary of the Dead.
I love Diary of the Dead. I did like that.
But those it has the sequel quality to it, just because. I mean,
what was the one with Ving Rhames?
What about not the Dawn of the Dead, but the
Land
one,
of the Dead?
No, with John Leguizamo.
No, it was almost like a made for TV version of one.
Maybe it was it Night of the Living Dead remake?
I can't remember.
What about
Day of the Dead remake?
Jim Carrey doing the number 23 or whatever was one of the worst horror films ever.
What about Jason X?
So I think Jason X
is
hilarious. Great. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's
enjoy Jason X.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You cheer and you're like, yeah, these guys stupid.
Okay.
There's a few. There's definitely a few. There are many more horror mess ups. Yeah.
There we go.
Wishmaster's
terrible.
Wishmaster's bad.
What about,
did you like Serpent in the Rainbow?
It's all right.
With Bill Paxton.
Candyman was scary.
The first Candyman was scary.
That scared shit out of me.
Yeah.
I still can't look at. What's his name, the actor?
Who knows?
He comes to frighten me all the time. I can't look at
Tony
Todd. In the eyes.
He's awesome.
Freaks me to fight. Oh,
he's now in the Hatchet movies.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. But that's. Anybody else have any topics for horror movies?
I think we've gone over everything.
Yeah, boo, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Boo.
Good Not everything, stuff. But enough to satisfy the masses.
Tell us what your favorite or least favorite
horror movies.
Yeah. Thoughts on horror movies are.
Yeah, give us some ideas.
Deep
that we forgot about.
Deep
and,
thoughts.
Yeah. You know, genre talk.
This nigga's SNL bit.